film with McCarthy. This is, yeah, this is Jim Fitzgerald here. Yeah, the McCrae History Group, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we have started coming for right now to the end of the writing in Mr. McCarthy, because our competition might be over in a week or that way, you see? So we're trying to put the finishing touches to it. Now, as far as I'm concerned in the IRA history, I've all the individual stories that I could pick up put together at this stage, you know? I'd say it runs to about 50,000 to 60,000 words right there, you know, and that sort of thing. Now, I'm down now to the problem of sort of writing the cover story for the whole thing, you see? And I'm still back trying to get the background to the political situation around 1912, as I was discussing with you before, you see? After the Mollies and the O'Briens and all these, you see? How could one sort of explain, you know, to give a background now, you see, what the situation was like prior to 1916 in that? Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, they definitely were strong around McCrae.
Yes.
There's no question about this, is it?
It was an inter-party rivalry more than anything else, I think.
Is it?
Yes.
But how, you see, after Parnell dying,
yes,
how did the thing develop from there on?
Well, one crowd were the anti-Parnellites.
They were there.
They were there, and all this was over by about 1900.
Yes. Again.
But in that party there were factions.
Yes.
And one of those was a faction in Cork, largely was the O'Brien faction.
Yes.
And that sort of went off when Whitman sort of got well in control.
Yes. Well, you see, definitely by around 1913 or 14, just the rivalry between both supporters seemed to be fairly strong. Yeah, but this now would be back again around 1913 or that way, you see?
Yes.
And at that particular period, there was terrible rivalry between the supporters of both. But how could one start to define the difference, if there was any difference?
Well, I don't think there was any real difference.
It was
a personality difference.
Was it?
It was.
And how did this get down that that people got so hot about it at grassroots level?
They get very hot about it, because I even around my mother telling me, you know, about the cries of the aunties and the waddies and all that.
Yeah, but one couldn't have to write down any distinct difference.
I don't think you could, no. You'd have to study the newspapers, the period and all that, and unfortunately very little has been done about that.
Is that so?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, I was in the other day, I went into the city library to look at the papers gathering around 1916-21 period, you know, and it's on the teleprinter there, at that particular period, and of course it's sort of slow work.
Oh, very slow work.
Going through that. Well, the problem was I had only one evening to try and get in 5 or 6 years, but one had to try and move through it fairly fast, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was worth the exercise.
Well, that's good.
At the same time, you see.
Yes.
But, you know, I had to try and get through all the years. Now, the other one sort of coming for 1916 and coming to the Easter Rising and that, as far as I could see, you see, I took a photocopy of the editorial and the Cork Examiner on the Monday of Easter week.
Yes.
And they certainly were speaking a lot about this up-and-coming force that they were sort of associated with the Kaiser and all this sort of thing, you know. But as far as I could see...
The war news at that time.
But, no, the only thing I could see on Tuesday's paper of Easter week, there was no mention whatsoever of the Rising in Dublin. At least I couldn't find it in the paper.
No, it took some time before things filtered
through.
Just Friday,
because I think on Wednesday, the Cork Examiner were more or less talking about the Irish National Teachers Congress that was being held in Cork. This was the issue of, you know,
yes.
So that until Friday before they had any editorial or any question, anything, and then they weren't very clear, like, but they certainly made a big denunciation, at least.
Oh, yes. So the Cork County Council passed a resolution against the Rising, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You see, and I didn't find this on, and this is of some bit of local interest, that when the Kints of Barnard and Castle Lyons, that time that the raid was made when the policeman got shot, there was terrible condemnation of the family for shooting this up-and-coming man, like, you know.
Yes.
But I mean, that's sort of the area now that I'm trying to, you know, try and finalise. But you don't think there's an awful lot?
I don't think there's an awful lot. It was more like the passion after, before a big match which evaporates, you know.
I know what you mean, yeah. Well, I mean, that's about, you don't think there's anything else now about
no,
that?
I can't, no.
You can't think of anything
no,
else,
not
like? That I mean, that there was no great difference anywhere?
There's no great difference, no.
Then they were all followers,
all followers, you know.
And they were all for home rule, weren't they?
They were all parliamentary home rule.
And I suppose Sinn Féin would have very little support down here around 1916, Neil, I suppose.
Well, there might be some IRP, but apparently
it was dead. It was dead, I suppose. Well, that's the only thing, though. The data of Edmund, then I see 1918, the 1918 election, you gave me the figures. You gave me the figures for that. No, that's about the only problem.
That we have to.
We may have to submit it before the end of the week. You see, we had understood that the competition was not concluding until the end of May, you see. But next thing we discovered that there was someone misread the date, and it was the end of April. Now we have looked for an extension till the end of May, and we could certainly do with it to try and put all our stuff together. But if it is on next Friday, well, we'll have to put in what we have anyway and try and... And try and come along after and start to finish the thing anyway, you know? So when I get it together, and when I have it typed, I'll take you up the copies of it anyway. And I'll give you a look through it and start to see, you know, what do you think of it, like, you know? Well, we've put a lot of time into it anyway.
Oh, you have. It's been great interest.
It is a great interest, and the thing, I suppose, I don't know, like, sometimes one thinks that a lot of us, at least I hope we've had the facts right anyway. One might say that... That other people could, you know, maybe put it together better, maybe could use better grammar and things.
You see, there's something that will come out of this, it's fresh and everything, and it's local.
Yeah, I think so. When we're even, you know, if one could start to fart, maybe some of the grammar and things that would be used in it, because...
The story is right,
I suppose. One could start to excuse where the full stops, because any of us aren't professionals in that area. You know, that's left to be excused. Listen, now, I do that song, Mr. McCaffrey, and it's so... Yeah, and as soon as you have, if I have anything definite, and when I have the whole lot together anyway, I'll pop up to some
right
with
it.
Yeah, Grand Thomas McCarthy. Look, bye-bye, thank you, bye-bye.
then I don't see any other men.
And she was something to do at home.
You just give to Dello, or you never hold the pit. He'll be maybe gone out from some of the classes, and he'll have no danger to have to be infected and ready to take the taxi after that. But Peter, says I should do. Yeah.
Well, he was in the bank sector, that's all I said.
Jimmy gave us all his 10 mil in it, above. And then there's the club and got to get an interest in from there and then. And more of us come down to us.
From the bank sector?
From the bank sector.
Yeah,
from the bank sector.
Should have to get it somewhere.
Where did they get anything
to
eat?
Yeah, yeah.
Mrs. Lynch was a great woman.
Why
she? Great company, she said, crowds of people. Like I said, we're falling every day they have to come down from the city castle and then they kill them, that and Jack Stenson and the ball, and they have to have their dinner there, and some of them wait for their supper in the night. But she has another business from. She is. And they have to sleep down the loft and everything. But I never forget it, one night I went over the bridge, the baby, and Neil was going away to America this time for months, so they helped me. So she had clothes and cast and everything to do. And Jim did some covers and said, and I included him. And there was, I think, 7 or 8 with him. There was 8 of them there anyway. So Jim, she had a lot of mercy on me, the boat, Maggie was just cutting corn for his wood to burn there.
Yeah.
And of course, Maggie was on the other side. And Jim told her sometimes, you're a fool, she should be getting back together, she should entertain him, like after she got home, doing harm and murdering people and everything. So I'll never forget him. So she had a bum to sit around in the kitchen when Jim came in. Well, I let the girl Jean in out to see her meals to come to see. But the advantage shows to see there's only one little girl here to sit to do everything. And she's awfully happy to do it. Well, I'll never forget it. I said, well, bless them, said Jimmy, anyway, to see when he didn't shut his mouth. It was a great village, not from.
Was it?
It was out of the way, like,
so
it was out of the way, so there was a big round up about one day, and the whole lot of them was just chasing there on the whole fields. I said, my God, they could be seen paying for more horses to ladders. Over they weren't seen.
And they weren't seen.
They went by the streets in every place.
Right.
Yeah, should I tell you going by the streets back in Tenland, go dead ridley.
You used to see much of them up around Pigeon Hill in the Black and Tens?
The Black and Tens, you should have. They never entered inside our door.
Mm-hmm.
No. As many times as they went up, they never came inside the door, the Black and Tens. But we had the free state 3 times a week, ready. But they knew too much, didn't they?
They knew the way around.
They knew the way around.
But the Black and Tens just come down the new line, just
there? They were one Sunday now, both to the wicked Sunday ever came. And Jimmy and the King is the last nurse in Thomas and say. And Dennis Mann used to take a run over every Sunday. And he was coming down the path, and his young come up, but he said if he threw himself by the ditch, they could see him from the door, playing from our house. Go up, he continued and go down anyway. And Jimmy and the Kiggins ran out, the two of them now, and up through cornfields and the pouring rain for the people, Fatty McCannaman's getting their dinner every Sunday for Mrs. Cannaman, so of course she was paid for. They never stopped running down into the crying, they all went up to that from cornfields. So the Kiggins get the canoe inside, and Jimmy ran for carries, to know what's carry around below, and now there was no counting answers, for he wasn't in the crying. But the Higgins were the rest of them were on the crowd. But the Black and Tens, they said, you're the men we're looking for. So Mick said, I have nothing to do with politics, anywhere in the world. Well, you were like the men we're looking for, they said. So they brought him home and he said, I was in the Navy. And I had papers at home, he said, in a shanty. So they brought him home and they stopped below it. At the old falls, there were no falls below the bridge long ago.
Yeah.
Before they went up home and they, one of these side of them matched them up. So they left them outside the door then, outside the way they were Mrs. Higgins and Redmond and same. So they said, how many sons do you have? And they told her, I have a son by the name of Redmond, they said, Michael. She said, I have. So they said, was he in the Navy anytime? And they said, he was in the Navy. So that's all the information they wanted in there and opened up at meeting. Took him, matched him down the room. And when searching, he had to show all his papers to him.
Yeah.
Only for that, Mick was taken.
What, they were looking for him, weren't they?
They were looking for him, but they thought he was some fella that they were looking for.
Oh, yes.
So, they were all coming about, the nurse and John, your uncle now, and his book. taking me about it home. And the mother, and we were met the mother to say, and we would let her after. So she said, because she ain't thinking to the very dangerous place she's in, she said, to be intense of all the after pressing up the 8-9 levels. And Jimmy and Vicky can start from within the car, she said, to give them the count, but they're all over the animals. So we got them, they're much to be out and up and past all window and up, all fields, and they see the lead over such and Higgins as all the herbs.
Yeah.
The black and tents.
Or over something.
They were on such and while they were living first.
Yeah.
They came all round such and over the Higgins and all the herbs, they had such those there and go before they got the cattle. So my first said to John, is my first dead?
He said,
to John, Sissy, look, Sissy, they're getting tense or something, Sissy. Stop down, Sissy, let us go away, Sissy, that's the weekend. Where they go, put right down from four horse and into the cover, and they stopped down to leave until everything was over, and they said, the mean, mean person that he is.
Oh, yeah.
Getting tense. That's a really big one. They said hands up and they top timed in there could fall.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to.
So, they went up to the cast anyway with their hands up and everything. So, he said, what's your name? Jim Offrey, he said. Where are you living, they said. And below here in my house, he said. Do you want to know her name? He said, I'm living here. So, then that was the robot of the fellow, he was running with him. What's your name? He said, Charlie Thompson, he said, come up. Well, if they happen to take him out to the upper, poor Charlie, he said, as we said, what would you find out? You would be found that you get the top of the gun or the rib or something. So they held them up for a long time anyway. And, oh yes, when they didn't halt them the second time, they probably shot down from the cross.
Where were they situated?
They rode the tanks, and they were about the cross.
A pigeon hill cross?
A pigeon, and Jimmy was coming off from us, and Charlie was making a false gate, and they were coming down. But Barry Hurley ran into the hospital, he was stationed, they made a good toll there, and she said, Jim must be Shishi and Charlie lead the shot. Oh, great, God, I did not see the black and tans are both the cross, Shishi, ladders of them, Shishi, and their father shot down from Shishi. So, all Hurley came up, and they thought they were finished then. Claire and Ken, did he give the wrong name altogether, did he give?
Oh, yeah.
And they asked him, do you know them two men? And all Hurley said, they're dozen. He said, they might be two neighbours. He said, if he said he didn't know them, they were on the
other
side. Yeah. They were on the said, well, they held them up in for our sound, and we are having a picnic below at Bridge the same Sunday. And our hats to down for knees after the dinner, and we're having cakes and sandwiches and all names.
Everything with you.
And the mother said, tis no case, she's a going on all. Which she told them to us, and she was
right. What was the story about that picnic?
Well, the picnic, we all took the same back in hand.
Yeah.
Lord Tom Wills. And we were to have it on side, and it'll say calm, alongside the road.
What was it, the coming of man, or what were we doing it?
We all done it together, yeah. Coming of man, the whole lot of it, yeah. All the women. Nora Heaven was in it, and the whole lot was in it. She was home at the time. So no one said, Nora, we by meeting the road, the pigeon is traveling over, and Nora said, oh, the white likes the food. The fruit, the green fruit. They'd be sure the fruit. Sometimes you send there, Jimmy, the last of us in the south, fits so much stuff they were there, get their pizza and their sister. And while they were pasting, which we would have them and apples, as we said, that's what they had right to be kept out of it anyway. And they drew tablecloths, from us and cups and all over the place. So, they
got over it went, is it bad?
Huh?
Over it went.
you know, they was there, and all the people said he was going to appear.
Oh, he was a great musician.
All great musicians. So, if we lived in the side of the road, we were done, and they're coming back. We never thought they'd come back again.
Yeah.
So we took it above the house, above Whip's house, up in the field. And there was about 50 on my legs. And we said, if any danger, they'll come back. Hell, they'll come back again. We had Ellie Muffet's gramophone above.
You can't get
away from my life. And we couldn't stop it. They said, shush, shush, the breaking time to come down. They stopped the broken more. We couldn't stop, they couldn't stop the gramophone, and Connie held the cotton, big shawl of the coat, and he stuffed it into the harp. And they stopped there for ages, should have, as the mother said, before they came up the road, and went into it. They're about 100 feet from there. They had, the whole left was shot. So it was an awful drink, so it started to do.
And
it was in
the wrong place,
aren't it?
It
was
in the wrong place
out of
the
road.
Fine. Well, how
did
people
live,
sorry?
I just took a nice ancient place with that.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, there were trees, like, and the trees around this was the grand place, and we had the platform and all, and the melodeon and dancing.
They were dancing and all.
The dancing and all. The black and tans weren't asked, and we said they'd never come back again. One of the lads said, and if they come back, the whole lot of us go together with it. John and Pedro, that's what they said, they laughed, and they said, they don't know. But, such as all your risk, because there's a cost,
and only for you being young and inexperienced, you wouldn't do it.
That's it, though. I'm going to talk about youngsters, don't they?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're cracking, aren't they?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
What did you do in the common man?
Huh?
You were in the common man.
He did sacks, Jim, and making bandages, and
yeah.
We were all knitting mats, I'm sure.
I went to the common man, and made the last master in the common man.
You were all wanted to that?
No, well, we were first aid in a craft for a bit. Jack Hilty was coming up. In a car for a bit with feeding horse down, the hundred crowd broke up.
Yeah.
Living first aid.
Yeah.
In a car. Both bleeding and aptly bleeding and things like that. And they got fed up with him and they broke it up. Broke it up there. So he was really, he was down with Lydia and Lena last night.
We were.
Molly.
We were.
Yeah. And they're good.
They're fine, they've got
a little
last
night,
I've
had a wake up. Did you? I've got a little bit of a little bit. No, I've got a little
bit. She wanted to go up the shop.
Yeah, we didn't know the hospital, but we were both home. Jimmy knew the hospital, Harry. And Harry was over. Mm. And she was not allowed to and she opened the back door and she there's some terrible noise, there's some terrible explosion, she said to Carrie.
She had it.
And he knew, but of course he had to be over, but he'd be, the first man to be alarmed, he was told. So, ever since he sat on one and had since and storm and until everything came to. So, next day they had him. The day before. The day from Milton now. So they said, well, last night I was here, did you carry here last night? She said, oh, man, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had Carrie here to see last night. And if you want him to see, you can take him away with you. Come here after the doctor's to see. And if you want him to see, you can take him away to see with you. But I'm not talking to him to see. Yeah. That's okay.
He didn't tell you that, did you?
Yeah. That's what we want to know, and also to impress it. So they called Liz, she had to get all over working Liz outside one door. And they called herself Mum up in the room. And they called, they were laughing, calling Maggie out. But they were out there hitting the house and they asked them further. And they were on the same station that he was here. He had to be there, they say, but he'd been armed.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
He'd been there.
Yeah.
But it was an awful frightful.
It was an awful. But do you remember any more of the songs then?
Any more of the songs?
The songs?
Can anyone get the songs?
I said to Johnny Rossi, and he said he'd try and get it from me anyway. Johnny Rossi and Kerry.
I know all the songs.
Yeah, you're a good bit with that,
I had to go there. I had lots of it after them. I had to forget a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yes, they stopped the foster Kate Murphy's shop, where Molly and Lizzie were ready to drop. And Kate in the kitchen didn't know what to do, and over the ran out in the backyard, and over the fields, gave Johnny Hapner a call, and stopped by the fourth and the fourth of the fourth. And then cheer up Jolly Fellows down there in despair, the Bobbies are cat, the Raiders are carried, and the Divils may care. They're burned the barracks, and Bobby's burned down, and on Jubilee of the place, George's Head. King George's Head.
Yeah. That's very good, wasn't it?
It was a great hospital.
Who made it?
I don't know who composed it, but they were all doing it together. The book was great. And on Pigeon Hill, when the Ravens were in Carriage, you could hear them at all hours at night singing Death of Rome Pigeon Hill.
You could.
The Carriage Toll Red.
Could you?
You could. For the ages after. For the ages after.
The chorus, 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 the chor
the quality of the
Yeah. As you know, I suppose carrying the wall at them, like all those stands now, there was maybe 10 degrees straight again. Kevin Barry and the San Malfieros and all them.
Yeah.
All them stands was made it up. Yeah.
But, Johnny,
from Gradius. So the first
Barrack
and
Ireland were taken? I think so, yeah.
And then Clan was the second.
Clan was the second, was it?
The police were taken away, then they never came back.
They were handcuffed and tied down by this guy's name.
Were they?
They were.
And what happened to them? Where were
they left there then? When the war was drawn in, they called the big state, and the bobbies and razors were handcuffed and tied down by some guy's name. And then was, I can't put him around in about the sergeant's wife was in the barracks at him. Mm-hmm. Just to say that. And the sergeant cried out from the wife into me. She was taken last night, but it didn't come sick, and the fight today, they ever should never forget. Just as far as the barracks in this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But what became of the policemen then? How were they taken away?
They were had to go in, they had to go in and look for home, so that's it.
But until the next daylight, until they got.
Corey made him a song in about John Town again. They had the big flag up there.
Did he?
The ball was the flag in John Town.
Did he?
He did. They put up some big flags, the green, white, and yellow. And they had ammunition they had. They belonged to John Town up, and they couldn't take it on. And they tried to go up, and they couldn't get up there. But Conor made a song about that. Constable Stack couldn't get up because he was so fat. He had his rhymed up grand.
Yeah.
He had. He never touched about that.
No, I never thought about that.
He forgot that as well. But the Blessing Tens, there's no doubt but you would be fed.
Oh, you would.
Yeah.
But the Free State, you would not.
Yeah.
They were just the same.
Well, sure, the Free State didn't.
They were just.
We said no 3 days a week. The Free State. There was no child, the destruction they done. Now, Carrie, forgive, she wouldn't say a word to the Black and Tans.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
They raided her house below a time after month. And they never done a bit of harm.
Mm-hmm.
But the Free State, Martin or seven men had to escape up in her.
Yeah.
And this day, they had a girl working from Cove, and she used to see him go up there. A Delaney girl or someone old or someone. So, the Maggie showed it to him, she should have been there, she should have gone after and after and after. So he had a ladder and he pulled up the ladder off the hall and all, having his revolver and blood inside of us. So Maggie gave him this for a week after.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, how can we get up there? They said, and Martin and both, and having the revolver loaded. Or she should come out here, she should have shown the way up to it and daddy. Or they said, it's all right. So the different route together she was put him, they said. But if they made an attempt to go up, he said he'd have the first to call him.
He'd live long.
But she went through later.
She did.
They said, no, no, I'll stay my night then, and they were walking down, and Danny kept it. They came in, and there was a fellow from Carrick. I said his name was, to the airport, but he was blind drunk. And he said, if they'll be an ambush of them three wild ladies to stay at this house, the house country.
Oh, sure,
and in fact, he said, we came tonight about that. So, Bob, the house is telling me, said to me, sir. Yes. So, they went upstairs and they pulled their medal and then he kept it on the hall. They said, you've enough, Annie. They said, you can't go.